Monday, September 25th, 2006, Upon Further Review, episode number 16. Ah, sweet 16. Now we can get our driver's license, we can hang out later with our friends, and, you know, pretty soon we're going to be able to do our own review show. I mean, to legally do our own review show. Please don't tell Mom and Dad. Okay, and here we are once again, Upon Further Review. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we want to say hello and welcome and greetings to all those wonderful people out there, to our growing listener base, people checking us out from homestarrunnerwiki.org, because I've noticed there's a lot of people who apparently think that we're good. One person in the message board said that, you know, we're really glad we're getting Homestar Runner out there. I give it a 9.5 out of 10. You even had They Might Be Giants out there. You guys are great. It's like a very, you know, disjointed kind of, you guys are great, and other random thing, and something else. So in other words, it's a typical Homestar fan, I think, you know.
In a typical podcaster, as it sounds like.
Well, could be. Could be that as well, but anyway,
appreciate it nonetheless.
We appreciate it. So we're in, we're here in episode number 16, my dear.
Sweet 16.
And
actually, you know, there's two more. I think I just watched two more Homestar Runners today.
Oh, there are
at work. Yeah, oh. I don't think you've seen.
So see, they've caught back up. They're back up on
the
once a week schedule.
Weekly,
so.
Yeah.
They clearly, our review, they were just like, wait a minute, if we're getting reviewed, then...
Yeah, we need to step it up.
We need to take the next step. So, we have three things to review for this week, as usual. I know it's stunning that we have another three things. We're going to start out by reviewing LEGO Star Wars 2 for the GameCube. That's right.
The original trilogy.
The original trilogy. Those of you who are listening, you didn't hear that wrong. That's LEGO Star Wars... In fact, wait a minute. LEGO Star Wars 2. There we go. It's much better.
Yeah.
It's Legos and it's Star Wars. We'll review
when
that.
When was the first one out?
Last year. And I think it was the prequels. So we clearly got the right one because we went after the one that didn't suck.
Oh, the first one out was the prequels?
Was the prequels, right.
Oh, yeah, that would have sucked.
Yeah. Well, they said it was a good game, but, you know, it's the prequels and so.
Yeah, this would have sucked.
So we're going to start by reviewing that. Then we're going to move on to one of our favorite television shows, which is Boston Legal, which stars two of our favorite actors, William Shatner and James Spader. And then last but not least, we're going to be in our podcast segment reviewing a podcast that was submitted to us a couple weeks ago, actually, called Me and the Bean. And
isn't this one of the infamous couple casts?
It is.
Aren't we taking up one of the trifecta?
We are trifecta?
I don't know if that makes... Well, yeah, aren't there like three big couple casts?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sure they'd like to be that big someday, but the two big... It's Dawn and Drew, Keith and the Girl. Me and the Bean definitely has a lot of fans. I don't know that I would call them the quote,
okay,
trifecta.
So they're the two main ones are the Keith and the Girl thing. And
right.
The,
you can call Me and the Bean a real up-and-comer, you know, one of the upcoming stars, let's say.
Okay.
And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight.
All right.
So let's get cracking on our first one for today, which is LEGO Star Wars 2. And we should say that we're reviewing the version for the GameCube, but essentially all of these versions for the PC, for the Xbox, for the PlayStation 2, and the GameCube are more or less the same. We chose the GameCube in part because I think the cost was a little bit lower when I picked it up in the store, but also because the control and just the graphics and everything else seemed to be a little bit better. And certainly much easier than if we were trying to do it on PC with whatever controllers we had there. So that's why I picked it up for
And
the
if you
game.
Are someone that's a Mario fan, so you have the GameCube, I think you'll appreciate it. So it might also lend itself more to a kind of the GameCube crowd, I think.
Definitely makes sense.
But I also want to let you guys know that we didn't just play this, the two of us.
Oh, no.
We had a game fest where we spent the second day of a two-day Greg's birthday festival, Friday, Saturday, playing this with... Four other friends.
And a couple of them who were just like, well, I don't really know if I... Most of our friends like board games, but some
actually,
of them didn't like video games.
One of the four is a gamer. Two of the three are really into kind of like sports games, so like Madden and stuff like that.
Right.
And then the last one was Catherine, who hates...
Former guest reviewer on the show.
Former guest reviewer who dislikes games.
And she said she was going to say, I don't know, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know if she's ever really played a video game before.
Possibly not. But the minute we pull up the screen, and so first of all, you pull up the screen, and I should say, by the way, you can find the website at www.lucasarts.com/games/LEGO Star Wars 2.
Yeah, I think you should just Google it, LEGO Star Wars 2, and then you'll find it.
So the minute you pull up the screen, you pull it up and you hear this, boom! you know, and the whole Star Wars thing is starting to go up, you know, starting to roll.
I don't know what that was.
And then, then the themes. Yeah, but you know when they first show the Star Wars words and it like pops up on the screen and it's like, and then it shows the yellow thing, the yellow lines of text going up on the screen. A New Hope. The Empire. Mm-hmm. Here, I'll show you. It'll make a lot more sense this way.
No, please don't.
The Emperor takes his... Sorry. But in any case, the minute we started to roll that, you could tell Catherine is like, oh, and then she's all of a sudden, oh, and she's watching. And then it duplicates, like the opening of, if you remember the opening of Star Wars, where the Princess Leia's ship is running away from the big Star Destroyer, and they're like having this big laser battle in space. And then it shows the little, the guys running through the corridors. It's all Legos. Then you see the little guys running through the corridors, like little rebel stormtroopers, and they're all little Lego
guys. Exactly like what it is in the movie.
Catherine got this goofy smile on her face, like, ooh. And then she was totally into it the rest of the day.
Yeah,
despite this all, oh, I
didn't notice that. I probably was, because I was too goofy watching it.
Yeah.
But she said to me today when we were at the gym, she said, do you know what my favorite part of the weekend was? I said, Lego Star Wars. And she said, yeah.
Yep. It's pretty good. Basically, the premise of this game is you play through the original trilogy, in other words, the real Star Wars, as Legos. But the way that it differs is it would remind you very much of a cross between Star Wars and Mario. So you have your little Lego characters that are running around. And as you're going through, you start out as just a couple of basic characters on Leia's ship. But as you go through the different episodes and you unlock different areas, you're able to buy new characters and find new characters
and unlock
use.
Other characters
and unlock other ones. So you can use Greedo the Bounty Hunter, you can use Ben Kenobi, you can use Luke, you know, you can use all these different ones.
Chewy and it is doing the original trilogy. There's certain things that maybe aren't, you know, passageways you don't go to in the movie, but obviously it needs more hours of gameplay.
Right.
But then there's also the scenes are true to form, but also slightly different in that they're Lego, so the characters don't talk, and they also might do sillier versions of what it is that the characters in the real movie do.
But that was hysterical, because we were sitting there, and at one point, when Leia comes in, and they're using the Death Star to they blow up her home planet, or whatever, and they go across the side, and you know the part where, I could smell your stench a million miles off. So in the game, in the Lego game, you just hear her going, but all of us in the room are going, I could smell your stench from 1,000 miles off. It's hilarious.
And the other guy is like saying something to her. I don't know what he says to her. You know it better than me. And then she, instead of responding in the Lego version,
do you want another demonstration? Where is the location of the rebel base?
Then she does with her little hand, you know, the wah, 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 talking to, you know, talkie.
I mean, the thing about it is, you may be thinking to yourself, wow, this sounds like a kid's game.
Yeah.
And it is a great family game, but I guess if you're any kind of a Star Wars fan, you're going to play this game and you just get this goofy sort of, I'm Star Wars, but I'm also Legos, you know?
Well, that's why I was going to say, for those of us Mario fans, this is a game for you, because it's easy save points, it auto saves. There are difficult coordination moves that you need to do,
right?
But you can also do really cool things.
Yeah.
And it has so many different characters, so you can use the Force
and you
cool
can
ways.
Customize them.
You can customize two.
You can
characters.
Make like Chewbacca Kenobi or Obi-Wan Greedo.
I don't know about that.
Or yeah, you can. You can put like the head of Chewbacca on the body of Greedo with like the legs of like Leia or something. Like Leia the slave girl with, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess we haven't unlocked that, but that is something to look forward to.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it could be kind of silly, and people might not think it's as challenging. But it is. There are certain, as you said, there are certain parts in it that you need to be able to figure out the puzzle or figure out how to open a particular space,
right.
What character needs to do what. And there are also just really cool things that you get to create and do that are created with Legos.
Yeah, periodically you find these little bricks, Lego bricks in the ground that are shaking, which means you can go over and build with them. And when you build
They're
it, it makes
up
like,
and down like little beans.
Sometimes they make like a door. Sometimes you build like a truck. Like at one point we were like racing through the ship, you know, that Leia's on at the beginning of the movie in this like little mini like fire truck and a cart. And I can't, it's just, we were giggling at one point because we're racing down this hallway and I'm Greedo cutting off Ben Kenobi. And it's just ridiculous, you know, but it's very funny because if you have familiarity with it, it's as if you're getting to explore it, but in a Lego universe. That's the other thing, by the way, another good thing for kids, there is zero violence of any important kind in here. Like if you blow up, you basically your Lego guy gets blown up and then you come right back to life again. So
yeah.
It's really, the point point is not difficulty in getting through, like not being able to make it through. The point really is being able to find all the secrets, because
right.
there's lots of, you can find mini canisters, and if you find all 10 of them in a level, you can build an extra cool ship or something.
And in that way, it's like Mario. Mario's difficult because you have to figure out how to do it, not because it's just, I don't know, complicated
right.
gunplay. It's, you have to figure out the dexterity of how to do it.
Yep.
And probably later on, I mean, we didn't finish it. We did get quite a bit, but probably as it gets more difficult, as with Mario, it's going to make that dexterity play a little bit frustrating.
Right.
And those of you that are really good at things will be a piece of cake. And those of you like Catherine, that this is a new thing, we have to sit there and watch her for 15 minutes try to do a backflip.
and 15 minutes. As Ben Kenobi. So I was just thinking, can you imagine if the movie had worked this way, where it's just sort of like, and so the movie ground to a halt, trapped outside the sandcrawler they could not jump into, and Darth Vader took over the world. But so yeah. there are a lot of those funny moments that are brought up, and you can go through, there's a lot of stuff to do. You can also, when you go back to the cantina, you can go back and buy things, you can buy characters. I should say in terms of cost that this is, I think I got this for about $39.99, and this just came out about a week ago or so. The other good thing about this is that there's a multiplayer version, so that you can play two players at once, and those people can drop in and out at any time, which is really useful. You're playing for a while, and you're like, okay, I got to go get something. You drop out, and then the other player plays for a while, which is and then the other player is played by a computer from that point forward until the person comes back.
Well, no, they really just kind of walk along as a computer.
Yeah, but they'll pull down levers. Yeah, because they'll pull down levers for you and stuff. Yep,
I've seen that happen.
The game itself, and this is just a problem, no game has ever handled camera angles well. There's just no game does it well, and this game does
Mario
okay.
lets you switch camera angles.
If
this
it's a
does
full
not.
360 one, it does. But even then, there are times when the camera gets stuck. It's just hard for a game to do. So at times, that is a little bit frustrating here, where you think you can see something and you can't quite get the camera to focus on it. So, you know. But other than that, I mean, I don't know what you think, but my impression is this is one of the more fun games we've played in a while. I mean, it's certainly not, you know, super duper complex, but there's a lot to do in it. And as I say, it follows the Star Wars genre pretty closely. And so it's fun for that reason.
Right.
So what do I want to say for a rating?
I would say a 9.
Yep, I think I would agree. This is a 9, and again,
and obviously,
I can't...
if you play shoot 'em up, you know, you liked zombies, then this might not be for you. But if you like this kind of thing, it's highly successful for this kind of game.
Yeah, maybe they'll come up with like a Lego zombie game, and then you'll feel good about yourself.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Even the facial expressions on the Legos themselves, like hand, is just like, it's very funny. So.
And the way my character drives, she had her elbow up on the back seat and was driving with one hand,
right.
while Greg's character was doing hunched over with two hands.
Yeah, well, that's because I had Obi-Wan Kenobi and you had the...
A safe driver.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So,
what happens when you're old?
So we will give this a 9 out of 10. And again, if you have another version of the game, we're going to assume the rating is approximately the same. There may be some graphical and control differences depending, but let us know if there is that is the case and you have the game. But if you haven't gotten it, we highly suggest you get it. So we would give this a 9 out of 10.
Okay,
second item that we have on the docket for tonight is the show Boston Legal, which airs on ABC at 10 p.m. And you can find this abc.go.com/primetime, all one word, /Boston Legal.
Next year couldn't possibly be this good.
Next Tuesday, 10, 9 Central.
You've always been a very bad girl.
The boys are back.
You look good, right?
You look great.
Spader.
Somebody around here has to get angry about it.
Shatner.
Still a king.
And guest star Michael J. Fox.
Sure, there ain't.
It's the Boston Legal season premiere.
Ooh.
That's right on target.
I need to borrow your breasts.
All right, but have them home by 11.
The season premiere of Boston Legal. Next Tuesday, 10, 9 Central. Only on ABC.
And if you go over to that website, you'll immediately see what looks like the Crane, Poole & Schmidt website. And Crane, Poole & Schmidt is the law firm that this whole show is based around, with the three main characters in the show. William Shatner, who plays a lawyer called Denny Crane. James Spader, who plays a guy called Alan Shore. And then Candace Bergen, who plays Shirley Schmidt. And that's basically the sort of setup. You want to talk a little bit, Clea, about the show?
We got addicted season 2, right?
Yes, yeah.
And that was after they had a stellar first season where they got awards.
We're looking for a DVD collection. Yeah, they've won Emmys 2 years in a row, both Spader's character and Shatner's.
Right, so are they up to season 3 now?
Yep, 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to say, except it's quirky, smart. They deal with a lot of really important current. It's a little bit soap opera legal, like Ally McBeal. It's got quirky, sexy humor, but it's actually dealing with really important life issues, not just really important female life issues like Ally McBeal. It actually deals with important issue, legal and political issues going on. So it's a little bit like the law part of Law and Order, but with a quirky, sexy, funny sense of humor.
And Law and Order is another one of our favorites, too. But yeah, we don't watch, and we don't really watch a lot of TV. This is the one show that I really watch all the
Greg
time.
Greg doesn't watch. I, unfortunately,
Clea
am addicted.
Watches a little bit more. But I guess the thing I like about it, like Clea said, is it's quirky, but I really think the writing is smart.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big thing about it, is that I think the writing is really smart. I think it is topical, it's clever, it's interesting, and the characters are constructed in such a way that they make you very interesting. The famous, the end of every show ends with Shatner's character and Spader's character, who are best friends. Shatner's character is kind of the very eccentric founder of this firm, Crane, Pull & Schmidt, and they're on the balcony sort of looking out, you know, onto the streets of Boston, and they're talking about things. And there's some very interesting moments that come out with that, and the chemistry between those two is obvious in that section.
Yeah, I don't think there really is anything more to say, except they just started season three. You missed the first episode last week.
Right.
So this week, starting tomorrow, Tuesday the 26th, will be the second episode of season three. And we suggest you at least TiVo it once or watch it once and see what you think, because we love it.
Shatner did this role, Denny Crane, originally on the show called The Practice, which was by, I think, the same guy who produces this show, produced Boston Legal. There's been some talk about the show being too left-wing, like too politically politically liberal.
Yeah, it is.
And I guess, you know, and I guess there's probably some truth to that. And yet some of the characters on that show represent, you know, non-liberal points of view also, you know. So from my perspective, I think it has some balance. But to the degree that it that it's liberal, oh, well, okay, so it's a left-wing show. But there have been other great left-wing shows like All in the Family, for example, that have been good as well. So I think it's very much worth your time.
That's a retro reference. Can you think of a more recent example?
Well, see, but the problem is it's really trendy to call everything left, and I think that's bogus. I think most of TV is actually right wing, but in any case, a very good show. I would give this a 9, and it's very close to a 10 for
me. It's close to a 10, but there's some things that like could get a little fatiguing, like Denny Crane, Shatner's character being a little off the wagon, but
it'd be a bit tiresome. But
season two, we thought, oh my god, are we gonna? But they pulled it back, and they didn't go too far.
It's interesting.
So
they had a couple of characters that we were like, please go away, and they did go away.
And
so it's okay, thank God. Wait a minute, Greg and Clea are telling us to get rid of the show. Good show, definitely check it out. And we give a 9 out of 10 to Boston Legal. Last show that we have to review for today,
drum roll please,
is the Couplecast Me and the Bean.
We are reviewing another Couplecast.
Me and the Bean.
Just me and the Bean. Just me and the Bean. Just me and the Bean. Just me and the Bean.
Welcome to Me and the Bean. I'm me.
And I'm the Bean.
And this is just a taste of some of the stories you'll hear when you listen to our podcast. And one time we were in our mall, this big overweight lady come with a big muumuu type dress came out of the Kmart. We saw she was walking really awkwardly. Her ankles were like this weird angle.
Like a duck?
Yeah, it was really. She's walking like a duck. And this woman of equal girth, breathless, runs out of Kmart and goes, "Stop her! She's got a TV!" And then finally she steps off the sidewalk and the TV just plops out from her muumuu dress.
My first kiss. I was 14 and I was on my trampoline and this boy, his name was Ryan, came over. He kissed me and it was the real thing, you know, like the French kiss and everything, and I was pretty grossed out.
God.
This is the best part. He looks at me and he goes, "So babe, was that rockets or fireworks?"
For more delightful tales, check out Me
and the Bean
at www.podcastrant.com/me and the bean.
And you can find this at podcastrant.com, that's a good start, /MATB_WordPress. Okay, now, as much as I love WordPress, I might recommend they think of another way that's a little bit clearer than MATB_WordPress.
Yeah, we can use a better
A little bit of a better URL. But in any case, that will bring you to the Me and the Bean podcast. And I guess the best way to describe this is, as Clea said, it's very much a couple cast, which means you have two people, me, who's actually Chad, and the Bean, and I'm sorry to say I don't remember her real name, because even on the show he refers to it as the Bean all the time. But they're a married couple with two kids living in the South, talking about what it's like to live in the South and to, you know, have kids and to deal with... They've just had a new child. Congratulations, by the way. And so they talk about that. They talk about their experiences.
I think her name's like Shirley or something.
Could be.
But she's an actress. I don't know what he does, but I think she's like...
She is, or she was.
Was, or...
Because isn't she like full-time mom now, I thought?
Yeah, but in one episode, she talks about they were doing Sleepy Hollow while her son, her oldest son, Evans, who I think is like 4 now or something like that, was alive, because he was saying mommy every time she came out on the stage or something like that. So still do it here or there.
Well, maybe so. The show tends to come out about once a week and is about a half hour per show. Lately, they've been so busy with their new kid that they haven't had time to do that. And so they've released a couple of alternate episodes. They released one called Scrapbooking that we listened to, which is basically they look at a scrapbook and then they talk about the pictures and what the pictures remind them of as they look at the scrapbook.
They listen to their feedback.
Then they have shows which are dedicated only to feedback, which is unusual, and I don't know it's entirely successful, but I'll talk about that in a minute. And they just have basically people calling in and doing voicemails or emails, and they talk about that. And then they have their regular shows, which is again sort of this slice of life couple guest.
Their episodes are usually pretty consistently around 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So my first take on this is I think it's a really good couple cast. For someone that likes couple casts and for someone that maybe isn't overly in love with couple casts,
okay,
I think it's really good because, one, I think it's brief. And so I like that it's short to the point and it's a bunch of gems. I don't feel that they babble like a lot of couple casts can.
Well, he edits, for one thing, which is nice.
Well, but other people claim they edit too, Greg.
Yeah, well, I know it's true. Well, he actually edits.
And you can hear it sometimes. And sometimes to a fault, I think you can hear when he's cutting. And I know that's difficult sometimes. But yeah, he edits so that it stays on track and it's engaging. And they're talking about their life, but they're not babbling. It is interesting. They've been doing it for, 50 plus episodes now. They're pretty comfortable with it. They have a good rapport. And, you know, they did just have a baby, but they're not just talking about their kids all the time. It is maybe 50 to 75% of the time, but it's not all the time. They do seem to lead pretty interesting lives. If you listen to their scrapbook, my God, they've been doing more things than we've been doing.
Yeah, she's a full-time mom, and I guess they've been having a hard time finding extra time lately, but when they have time, they're able to go do things. Yeah, they had their honeymoon in Paris.
Yeah, I know. You mentioned that.
Pretty neat stuff. So, yeah, and you know, I guess a couple comments from me, because people, long-time listeners of this show will know that I am not overly a fan of couple casts, because I find that most of the time sort of listening to the slice of life that's, you know, that people think is interesting but isn't, doesn't make for fabulous listening. And
Greg's not interested in kind of reality media in general.
Well, especially if the reality media itself isn't interesting. I think there are some people who think that if you just speak about your life, that's automatically interesting. And to be perfectly blunt, a lot of times people's lives aren't nearly as interesting as they think they are.
Well, but that Greg, people who are legitimate reality fans, that's what it is. They're like voyeurism. They like listening and hearing and getting to know people medium.
I'm too busy with our lives, though, to worry about other, you know, to be really like excited about listening. I mean, you know, we have our own lives to lead, I would think. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But anyway, so the thing about me and the Bean, though, is that there's some differences there. I still have the same problem with it that I have with some couple casts in general, which is I'm not overly fascinated with people talking about, you know, things that are just not that interesting. I mean, I know that they love their children and that's great. It's not overly fascinating to me as a show to listen to them talk about how great Max is, who's their newest. I'm sure he's wonderful and that's wonderful for you, but I don't particularly find it interesting. Although I recognize that some people do. I don't really think so. And I think that the audience of people, I don't agree with Clea that people who don't like couple cast would like this one. I don't necessarily agree with that because I think it's a very sort of straight ahead couple cast in that regard. However, I think on the positive side, what comes through in this show that doesn't come through in a lot of other couple casts is that there's a kind of basic intelligence and warmth to these people that helps a lot in that they're clearly very nice people and that warmth kind of comes through. Mm-hmm. We talked about this with the Pediacast a few weeks ago that the warmth of the show is really reflected in the warmth of the personalities, and you need to have those personalities to make the couple cast work. And both of these people are extremely nice and intelligent. I mean, it's very obvious as they're talking talking to each other, that they understand things about society, and they're laid back about it, but they're laid back about it in a funny way, not in a, oh, I don't care about anything way, but they find things that we would find funny to be funny, and they have sort of a similar sensibility in that regard. And so one of the big, you know, sort of things that makes them different is that they actually are intelligent and smart and, you know, interesting and warm, and all of that improves the experience of the couple cast, I think.
Right. So you're saying it's reality, and you actually find their reality interesting.
I would say it's better. Yes, I'd say it's better. It makes the reality much more interesting to me because I find, you know, them to be more interesting, and so that's good. And I also give him a lot of credit because, as I said, he actually edits. And I think he may edit a little bit too much at times, but I so much prefer that than people who just leave every single thing in and think that we really want to listen to you say a million times and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I just mean sometimes he cuts things out that maybe he should put in a little silence so it doesn't sound obvious, like he cut sentences or something like that.
I suppose maybe he should do that, but I think overall it's good to hear somebody actually paying attention to the product.
Yeah.
And I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yep.
I should say on the website, by the way, besides the fact that the URL needs a little work, I think, obviously, as everybody knows, I'm a big WordPress fan, but this strikes me as a little bit like the logo.
I thought it was
cool.
Going to be really more interesting than it actually was.
It just kind of is like a basic WordPress template. And I know that they're really busy and this is probably the last thing they want to hear, but just a suggestion might be take a look into some of the other templates that are out there. There's a bunch of new templates that have come out recently, and you might want to take a look at that because I think you might find that there's some stuff that's a little bit more interesting than what's on the site currently. I mean, it's fine. It's functional. You can get to everything that you need, and the show notes are certainly good.
Going along the idea that they're interesting fits with a little bit of the fact that I actually don't find the feedback episodes very interesting.
Why is that?
I think it's because if I want to listen to them, I want to listen to them. I don't want to hear all their friends and family and, you know, fan club from the wonderful world of the internet because everyone loves each other.
Right.
Because then it's like, yeah, I don't find you and I don't find you interesting. I don't find you interesting, or I don't know you, but I don't know this particular little world.
Well, I mean, we also do feedback, right? I mean, we'll read out feedback in emails and we really appreciate that and we think it's important. I think dedicating an entire show to it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And I mean, maybe the way to look at it is it's sort of like a special release thing. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you'll download it. And if not, you won't.
That's true.
And so in that regard, it's not like they do this and then they say we only do feedback episodes and nothing else.
Yeah.
In a way, you could even argue that maybe it's better to keep it out of the rest of the show. You know, maybe our complaint about other couple casts has been that they do all the things that these guys do, but they do them in one show and that's irritating. And we're like, split them up.
Yeah.
So maybe they do it in that regard in a better way.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't listen to the feedback ones.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's
true.
But
you'd have the option not to because they'd actually split it up in that way.
Yeah.
So I guess the sort of overall sense that I have of it is, in general, I'm not a big fan of CoupleCast because I don't find the people interesting. In this one, the people are more interesting to me. It still doesn't make the CoupleCast part of it particularly exciting. It's just, it's not my bag. And I keep saying there's a difference between like the Eclectic Review that we did where it's not a CoupleCast. It's two people who happen to be married talking about subjects and topics and just the sort of slice of life stuff. But having said that, this is to me probably the best of what you can get in the CoupleCast. And it's something which if you like CoupleCast, you'll love it. And even if you don't like CoupleCast in general, like I don't, this is something that really sort of stands out a little bit because of the differences, because they're warm, because they're intelligent, because, you know, they're able to make their lives themselves are a little bit more interesting.
Right.
And so
and there might be things
that improves
that
it for me.
There might be things that they're living through right now, their stage of life,
yes,
the way that they view the world, that if you agree with or find interesting, that this might actually be something that you want to listen to for a little while. Like, let's say right now you guys just had your second child and you want to hear what other people are experiencing.
Oh yeah, they even talk about that.
They talk about
advice
that.
Advice for the second parent.
Right, you know, and they make certain recommendations and they talk about it. And so it's nice. It's like a little bit more close than just a online chat room or something like that. So, you know,
that's true.
I think that I would recommend that you go and you listen and see whether or not you find them interesting and you find the way that they think about things is something that maybe you connect with, and then maybe this will be right for you. But if you go and you go, nope, maybe not, then you at least tried. And I think it's worth a first try.
I agree with that. I would definitely say it's worth a first try. Two other quick things I wanted to mention about it. One positive, one thing that maybe I'm not sure about. The one positive is that this is definitely a family-friendly show, and if they're going to play like a piece of music that maybe has some questionable moments to it, they'll tell you that beforehand so you can listen to it with children, and that's certainly, you know, something which is positive. Not that shows that aren't family-friendly is a terrible thing, but I'm just saying it's a good thing as a sort of additional feature. And then the other thing, which I'm not sure about, is at the end of a lot of their shows, they have a long segment, like maybe maybe 4 or 5 minutes where they play music and then voicemails and then they say, okay, now we're really going to end. It was a little confusing to me.
I don't know if they do that every time or just the few that we listen to.
Yeah, I don't know.
A few of the ones that we listen to, there are a few other ones where they didn't do it.
Right.
So I don't know if it was just those few.
So it was a bit confusing.
But I found that very confusing. If you're going to end it with you guys talking, not with other podcasts.
Right.
But what I wanted to tell Greg, you actually can go to www.meandthebean.com and then it takes you to the other website. It actually is www.meandthebean.com. And that's the website. And then when you go there, it changes the URL to the other address.
Oh, yeah, you're quite right.
Yeah.
Okay. Still a weird URL, but at least they link it over. So that's good. Because I was going to say, somebody else took meandthebean.com. Like someone in Thailand's like, yes, I've got meandthebean.
Why Thailand?
I don't know.
Because they just had a coup,
randomly.
So it's fresh in your mind.
So they're figuring meandthebean. The other thing I wanted to say, too, was I was glad I listened to the end of it, despite the, there shouldn't be all that extra stuff at the end, because I got to hear that song where the guy's talking about how this song, did you hear that song?
Yeah,
they play this song where this song isn't about you. I promise it isn't, and you can shove that right up your. And you could. It was very funny. It's kind of a break up with a girlfriend and then joke about it type of song.
You like that's your favorite part from The Wedding Singer.
And you're not going to find exactly. And you're not going to find that in most couple casts. That's my point. These people know what's up with that. So
okay.
So what do you want to rate the show, B?
Okay, so we're rating it for couple casts, for people that like couple casts.
No, rate it as you think it deserves to be rated.
It does.
How do you think, how successfully you think it does what it's supposed to do, and what was your take on it? Yeah.
I want to give it an 8.
I will give it an 8. I will give it an 8. And let me tell you, that was
painful.
That was painful.
That was quite a pause. That was like point.
I know. Eight, I don't know how much that was.
0.02 seconds.
I will give it an 8 because I really think that although couple cast is not my thing, I think this stands out a little bit. And as a couple cast, which is a slice of life type of show,
right,
in that regard, I think that it does stand out, and I give them credit for that. So yeah, I will give it an 8. You have conquered my dislike of couple casts in general terms, and
pretty good. All right, Bean the Bean, I guess I'm your champion.
That's right.
When it comes to Greg.
So that's going to do it for us for another week. We want to thank everybody for listening. Please, and I forgot to mention at the very beginning of the show that we wanted to thank Bernadette for reviewing us on podcastfanatic.com. I'll try to remember to put a link up to that. She liked us and she gave us a good review. And the only thing that she said that was one of the things that she said as suggestions is that the comments section is underutilized, and we agree. So please use the comments section.
Well, she also said that she'd like things by topic, and we do have that.
We do have a reviewed items page. Yeah,
so we're going to try to fix that. And then she would like it if we would split up themes.
Yeah.
But other people seem to like it.
Yeah, so feel free to send us feedback on that if you'd like us to split it up by theme or not. But my impression is that people kind of like the eclectic way that we approach it.
Yeah, because they can always fast forward if they don't listen, or it challenges them to hear about something that maybe they never thought they'd be
interested in. But if you send us feedback on that using the comments system, we'll address both of the problems that she... But no, she said that she liked the show, and we want to thank her for that review. It was very kind, and you can find that over at podcastfanatic.com, I believe, and as I said, I'll link it up. And otherwise, please continue to spread the word, be the cool people that you are, and we will see you guys next week. Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See ya.
The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.